freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
But I want to get the language right.
The big government is in trouble.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
Okay, so you've been lied to. You've been lied to. You've been lied to over and over and over. And what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Well, here, we're here tonight are doing something about it. This is Anti-Media Radio, Thursday, February the 12th, 2015. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. As always, this is S.M. Gibson, your host, with our wonderful producer in studio tonight, Mr. Shannon Madden. How you doing?
I'm tired of being lied to, that's for damn sure.
Man, me and you both. I tell you what, let's go ahead and run over the quick top stories for the day, and let's get into some discussion. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to have the wonderfully astute Justin Keene call in.
Awesome, awesome.
Yes, that's going to be fantastic, so please stay tuned for that. So, what we've got going on right now, there's been a peace deal reached in Ukraine. It was the Minsk summit. Ceasefire is going to begin February the 15th. The deal was brokered by France, Germany, Russia, Ukraine, and it was signed by the Ukrainian rebels. So, you know, that kind of elongates us maybe going into World War III. I think that's some positive news in the world a little bit.
Very nice,
that they've reached a ceasefire. We'll see how long, you know, all that lasts. We've also have the 13-year-old that was interviewed by The Guardian just a few months ago in Yemen. The Guardian out of the UK and spoke about and said, his quote was, "We dream about drones." Mohammed Tuaiman, 13 years old, he's now dead from a drone. We also have Ashton Carter, your brand new Secretary of Defense, got confirmed today, 93-5 in the Senate.
Wow.
Yes, sir. Well, yeah.
That guy where the money is, right?
Man, that is a warmonger. Even the Democrats call him a hawk. That was the term they used, a hawk. And McCain was all about this guy, if that tells you anything.
Ooh.
We also have Mr. Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel. Surprise, surprise, 90% of his campaign funding comes from the United States. But they're a sovereign nation.
They don't need our help. That's
no, no, they got nothing to do with us.
No.
We're not running the show.
No, come on,
no.
Man.
We're not.
No.
We're just minding our business.
That's exactly right, like we always do.
It's all we do. We also have a good report that's come out from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration that has said that it's safer to drive stoned than drive drunk.
And what stoned we're talking about under the influence of marijuana.
Of marijuana. Of the Mary Jane, of the weed, mm-hmm. of the wood, whatever part of the country you're from, it's all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, nobody should be driving around impaired.
Absolutely.
They shouldn't.
Absolutely.
So we're not saying, you know, go get high and drive around. But the point is, wait, it's safer than alcohol. Well, alcohol is legal.
legal in all 50 states of the union is last time I checked. Yes.
There are some counties in Alabama, though, that...
No, yeah, it's like Mayberry.
It is. Yeah. There are a couple here.
Take the axe and pow, pow, pow.
Right. So, we also... I really want to talk about this. This is... the Barack Obama... This is probably the silliest news of the day, but it just fascinates me, the propaganda of it. Did you see... Shannon, this advertisement that BuzzFeed put out for...
The selfie stick. Oh my God. Wow, that's hot business right there. Warm and fuzzy and light. It reminded me a lot of some of your more whimsical public service announcements that are coming from the government. Kind of had a, I don't know, that warm, fuzzy Bed Bath & Beyond NPR feel.
It's very youth-oriented.
Oh, it is. It's all about the young people.
It is, and he doesn't say anything. You know, with all the things going on in the world right now, we're being shown a video of Barack Obama taking selfies.
Oh, it is. Let's be straight. It is an advertisement for the Affordable Health Care Act. You know, that thing that you haven't signed up for, you're going to rack up yet another $500 fine next time you go to do.
Right, you will be penalized. Freedom
will be penalized for not having health insurance.
But that's what freedom's about. I mean, freedom is about if you don't do it, you know, we care about you and we have your best interest in mind.
Absolutely.
And because of that, if you don't do what we tell you, you will be punished.
And get a health care plan that limits the doctors that you can go to. It limits the health plans that you can get involved in and around your state. We're going through something right now in Alabama where the Alabama Psychiatric Services and it's kind of controversial in this town. A lot of people have differing opinions about how they serve. But, yeah, that's one of the things that's wrapped up in this as well because certain health care plans don't cover it. And, of course, there's also not enough money in it to fund it and yada, yada, this, that, and the other. Next thing you know, well, we're not getting our cut, so we're going to be doomed to fail.
But I think the propaganda was just mind-blowing. You know,
oh, absolutely.
And people become spellbound, and they giggled, and they laughed, and they had this kind of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, Barack, you're just being
silly. This music behind it, this kind of Benny Hill kind of theme, and he's sitting there drawing a picture of Michelle, and, oh, he's just like you, folks. He's just like you. You know, mind you, as we reported last Tuesday, he's just like you, except his Nobel Peace Prize winner, his drone program is responsible for killing more people than we're killing the Spanish Inquisition. But he's just like you. Don't worry about it. You know, we didn't just at the top of the show talk about a 13-year-old child that was killed by a drone, one of Barack Obama's drones.
Taking selfies with the stick.
Yeah. Okay, this is, I proposed this idea earlier, and I would really, really like to do this, is I wish that there was an alternative to that video that's come out. And instead of, you know, the blonde-headed white guy that's like whatever, he works for Obama, you know, press secretary, whatever they've got him as in that video, you've got a 13-year-old boy that's in the Middle East. And he's taking selfies, and he's looking at himself in the mirror, and he's sitting there drawing pictures, and he's just like Obama. It's so humanized. And at the end of it, you know, Barack Obama's taking his shots. He's, you know, swoosh, swoosh, whatever. And then you get a drone just boom on top of that 13-year-old boy. Because that starts humanizing the situation, because that's what it is.
And that's closer to reality.
That is closer to reality. So, you know, I would love to see that video come out, because I tell you, it would go viral.
Oh, absolutely.
That would happen.
Well, it would go viral for a little while, but then there'd be some other major distraction, a new Ebola or a new, you know.
The measles, yeah. The flu, you got a cold, you sneeze today.
It'll be the super flu then, and the super flu is killing hundreds and hundreds of people, which the flu does every
day. The pig flu, the eagle flu, whatever it is this week.
Yeah, the worm flu,
I'm sick, all right? I'm sick of the propaganda. Where's the vaccine for that?
Absolutely. Well, we're going to work on that right now.
So we were talking before the show started, and we were kind of diving into the whole Saudi Arabia thing, and kind of going off topic a little bit here.
Well, actually, the topic, and to be fair, we did a show last week that has been shared more than some of our broadcasts have been recently on YouTube. which you can go to UCY TV, and they have all of our shows archived. Someone mentioned the fact that we suggested a link between Israel and Saudi Arabia, and so we got to looking more into Israel and Saudi Arabia, because of course we're always, if anybody's going to call us out on it, we're always going to take it back, even though we know what we know. And we,
but if we're wrong, I'll be the first person to say I'm wrong.
But it's always good to go back and check your research and dig even deeper and go to all the different media outlets that are available now, whether they be the mainstream media outlets, which are absolutely full of crap, Ryan Williams, or you can go on down the list, and there's a lot of, there's plenty of good, credible news sources that are still available, but you can't just trust one. You have to do your research, and you have to go further and do your digging and so on.
Brian Williams has a beautiful coif. Don't hate him.
He does have a beautiful coif. If I had a coif like that, trust me, I would
definitely
be lead broadcaster on Fox News right now.
Funny story we've got up on the antimedia.org right now is Brian Williams just went from the 23rd most trusted celebrity. Like, who trusts celebrities anyway to begin with?
Exactly.
But the 23rd most trusted celebrities, and now he's dropped to like 835.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
I think it's 812.
He dropped 812 spots, but it's so irrelevant. It's like, why are there polls that suggest this is the person that I trust?
Why are there 812 trusted celebrities?
Are there 800 celebrities?
Wow.
I mean, they've gone pretty deep on that list.
Yeah, that's pretty deep. I mean, that's like, you know, the Kardashians. And
you've got to be.
And, I mean, you know.
Yeah. I mean, is Bruce Jenner or Kim Kardashian or one of those people?
While we're in the middle of the broadcast, I am going to pull this up because I want to see if any of the Kardashians made the list before Ryan Williams. That would be priceless.
It would be, actually. That being said, that's the country we live in right now, is that we're more worried about the celebrity culture. We buy into
these stupid little polls, you know?
Right. Well, look at it. It's the same way with the presidential elections that we're going to get come back around in 2016. You've got a situation where Rand Paul, a couple weeks ago, made his statements about vaccines, and he didn't tell people not to get vaccines, whatever. But it was very reminiscent of his thought after him. Okay, there were multiple. Barack Obama had said the same thing. Hillary Clinton had said the same thing. Like, the government shouldn't force people to get these vaccinations. And they crucified the guy.
Well, and again, I think just for that, everyone should be forced to get a vaccine if you can give me solid 1,000,000% evidence that it is going to absolutely cure every single disease it says it's going to cure with no side effects, like autism and some of the horrible birth defects.
Oh, no, you've heard science.
Oh, yeah. I'm not science.
You took a science class, right?
I did.
You've read it. Like, what happened? Children don't get autism.
No, of course.
That's exactly why, if you look at the population, the percentage of children getting autism today, and you look at the percentage of children in the Amish community, they're exactly the same percentage. Oh, wait, no. Sorry, they're not the same percentage. They're not the same percentage at all.
Absolutely.
So maybe that's something at least looking into. That maybe that's something at least worth researching. For everybody that's out there, if you want to go, do your own research.
Absolutely. And we encourage we encourage everyone to do that, to listen to this
podcast. And I'll tell you, I am not in any way, shape, or form saying do this or don't do this. What I am saying 1,000% is the government has zero right to say you have to do this.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
That's it. To me, it's an issue of freedom. That's it. Like, we live in the freest country in the world, and they're saying, but you got to do this. You have to have health care. You have to get a vaccine. You have to do these certain things.
Yes.
You can't smoke weed. We know it's a lot safer than alcohol. But we're making a lot of money off of alcohol, so don't worry about that. That's not a big deal. It's all so hypocritical.
Absolutely.
If anybody would like to call in this evening, please feel free. You can call in at area code 718-717-8296.
That's area code 718-717-8296.
Well, we got to go back to the Saudi Arabia thing for a minute, because we there was a little story that somehow, some way, because there's a lot of news happening right now, that kind of got swept under the rug about Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Imagine this. Well, I guess we don't need to imagine this, because this has been a pretty hotbed issue in America here for the past several years about building the wall between the United States and Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Saudi Arabia has kind of taken the wall and took it a step further. What started off as a little ditch and a fence that separated them from the border of Iraq.
And just Iraq only, correct?
Oh, you've got to. Yeah. And I encourage anyone, please go check out the graphics on this. This isn't just a fence and a ditch, I might add.
This is five layers of fences. Yeah.
Numerous checkpoints and towers, and there's all of these, you know, security vehicles going up and through it and down it, because there are now 30,000 new troops that have been stationed along the Iraqi border.
With Saudi Arabia.
Absolutely. Well, you get to thinking about that. What significance is that? What does that matter? Okay, they have every right to build a wall. Why Iraq? Well, let's think about it for a minute. If you'll turn on most of your news organizations, and I strongly encourage you to do it with the sound off, you'll see that U.S. is ramping up their military exercises in Iraq.
Okay. No, we're out of Iraq. Didn't you hear?
Well, what's that got to do with
it? We elected Barack Obama. Didn't you hear? We're out of Iraq. We're free. Ooh, we're good. Yeah. We're getting free health care.
No, you better hold your spurs there, Mr. Jingle Jangle, because we're headed right on back.
No. Oh, Nobel Peace Prize.
Yes, we are. ISIS.
Yes.
Terror.
Yes.
Terror.
Yes.
Terror.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we did.
Oh, well, we've done it.
Well, And again, you're asking yourself, well, what does this have to do with Saudi Arabia? Saudi Arabia is friendly with the United States, right? Well, let's go back to September 11th, 2001. And one of the hijackers that we still have in custody, Mr. Moussaoui,
the 20th hijacker,
has given a lot of information to the United States over the years. We've had him in custody for quite some time now.
And there's 28 pages.
28 pages of classified information, mm-hmm. that now there is a congressional hearing going on to declassify that links the Saudi government, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, it's been reported ad nauseum, it's no secret or no surprise that the Saudi government has funded terrorist activities in the past, and definitely funded September 11th, 2000.
You sound like a conspiracy theorist. You crazy nut job.
What about those folks down at Congress who want to hear about it?
Oh, they're crazy.
And they're doing it for
they're crazy.
They're doing it for the victims' families. Well, I just find it really, really odd and suspicious. And we're going to connect the dots for a minute. And it really, again, it does seem grandiose, but how can you look at all of this information and not see something that would signify something greater than the sum of its parts?
Well, you know, there was also a report, too, that came out this week that said something about Vladimir Putin has some sort of satellite evidence that can definitely prove that United States helped with the terror attacks in 9/11. And, you know, that's more than likely that's just garbage BS. I mean, there are so many false reports that are put out there, and I think that's one thing that people need to really, really, really be aware of, is it's not just the mainstream media lies. There's so many lies put out on blogs on every page, and you have to be able to filter through those things, and you have to be able to cut through the lies, and you have to be able to decipher yourself. You have to have very, very, very sense, like a discernment is what it is. You have to discern, well, is this just being put out there to throw me off, or is this legit? I mean, let's just throw this out there real quick. Look at Kennedy. You got the Russians, you got Cuba, you got the Mafia, you got Johnson. You got a billion different people that could do it. Those stories came from somewhere.
Even Joe DiMaggio. I mean, come on, you know, that was his girl, Marilyn.
He did love Marilyn Monroe, and you know what? Joe can do what he wants. Mr. DiMaggio.
I didn't know he was that good of a shot, but he's probably doing what you're trying to do, wasn't he? Nearly everybody was back then.
That's the truth. But people overlook, like, and the thing that's so frustrating with me is, I guess now that we're on the topic, and everything ties in with September 11th. It does. And it's become this huge, well, it's a conspiracy, just deal with it, just suck it off, it's going to be okay, just get over yourself. No, it's not that. Because there were lies, massive lies told that day. And people expect you and me to say, well, these are the reason these lies were told. Let me give you the exact grand plan. This is what they did, and this is why they did it. You know what? I don't know why they did it. I don't necessarily know how they did it. But I can tell you there were lies told.
Absolutely.
And just because I tell you there was a lie, you automatically expect and say, well, I'm going to need all the information now.
Well, all the information is available at your fingertips these days. In fact, most folks who are carrying a
smartphone
have a wealth of information in their freaking pockets.
And we were talking, you talked earlier about the Israeli-Saudi Arabia connection. Look, there are so many implications of Saudi Arabia 9/11. Anybody that thinks differently is brain dead.
Yes.
That Saudi Arabia has not been implicated in 9/11. They have been, they are, even by the stupid, fictitious 9/11 Commission report, Saudi Arabia is all through it. You've also got, you know, and this doesn't necessarily mean the Saudi, this doesn't necessarily mean Israel, but yes, there were five Israelis that were there filming it. That happened. Sorry, not conspiracy. That's fact. Could they have just been five rogue, you know, Israelis? Absolutely. I don't know. That doesn't mean, just because I acknowledge certain facts and discredit certain things that have been said on your TV because Wolf Blitzer said it and it's a lie. Well, the media doesn't lie. Except maybe Brian Williams. Well, yeah.
But that's an isolated incident. I mean,
that's what they want you to think.
Never hear anything like that happening.
Right. Never. Never.
Like, you know, like a big newspaper like the New York Times. Oh, wait a minute. Jason Blair.
Woo! So.
Oh, wait a minute. Man. We might want to reconsider this, huh?
So maybe the media does lie. Maybe the media is recited. They're given a script and they recite it.
And I want to warn everybody listening right now, maybe we're lying too. Go back and look for yourself and do your own homework and do your own research.
That's it.
Because this is something worth caring about.
Exactly.
This is the future of
and
our
that's time. What anti-media is. We're here. We're doing our best. We're doing our best job to be as honest and give you the facts as we see them and be completely honest. But you know what? Don't take our word for it. Go back and look at what we're doing. Go back and research it for yourself. Don't just take it for just because we said it.
And that's something you're definitely not going to hear in an NBC News broadcast.
No, you're not.
Damn skip.
You know, we challenge every single listener to do their own research. I think it's very important that people have their own information. But at the same time, you get so many people that just read the headlines or just read this, and they discredit the story.
Or read one or two articles from some, you know.
Right.
A boutique website, and you know that. Then I just kind of leave it at that, and get some very small general information on it, and drop the subject.
Right.
Go learn the names. Go learn the actual facts and the actual events that led up to the facts. And sometimes you're only going to get a little bit of the fact here, and a little bit of the fact there, and a little bit of the fact there. But if you read enough stories, and you're smart enough. And all of you, everyone who's listening, you're smart enough to tune into this broadcast. You obviously care about this. It's something you're thinking about, something that's near and dear to your hearts like it is ours. And we don't have the answers. Well, let's go ahead and get that straight right now. But that's what this show is about, is establishing a forum so we all can come together and come to that answer.
And share information.
Exactly.
We also, in 5 minutes' time, we've got the incredible insightful Justin King.
Yeah,
he broke a big story this week.
Mm-hmm.
He also has a new website out that he worked with us and has worked with us for a while, but he has his own thing he's doing. Can't wait to get into that. It's going to be
awesome. Man.
Yeah, and the story he broke, I'm going to wait on him to talk about it, but just wow. Just wow. I mean, it's mind-blowing that it really contradicts so much that has been put out in the mainstream. Deals with torture. Stick around. He's going to be around in 5 minutes. But so we've got – okay, let's go back and recycle our stories at the top. Ashton Carter. Mm. Ooh, buddy. Mm. The guy worked for Goldman Sachs.
Seems like I've heard of them.
Have you? Have you heard of them? They're good people. You know that, right?
Oh, of course, of course. Yeah. I've heard that from a lot of
people. Our economy's not on life support.
No. We're good. We're doing really good. Gas prices are down.
Gas prices are down.
The price of pizza, you can get a pizza for $5.
But Saudi, awesome. Again, Saudi Arabia. Their name shows up again. But that's
funny how that works out. But at the same time, you know, we're friends with Saudi Arabia.
Oh, they're good people. Yeah, they're good people. They need to just hang out in Crawford, Texas. Let's just all hold hands and sing Kumbaya and skip through Crawford, Texas like heroes. That's what it is. They're just good people. Let's just write essays about them. King Abdullah. Oh, no. Oh, that was sad. That was sad. Let's forget that they beheaded 80 people last year. No, that didn't happen. Anderson Cooper didn't tell me it happened, so it didn't happen.
No, Anderson Cooper is.
Do you realize that's how this country works?
Yes. Yeah.
That if Anderson Cooper or Wolf Blitzer or Rachel Maddow or Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity doesn't say the words, people don't think that it happened?
Exactly right.
They just think, oh, well, if that was a big deal, then somebody would have said it. No, they wouldn't have said it. They're steering you in other directions. 1984 is here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is exactly how the story of 1984 started. And, you know, we always thought, well, it's never, ever going to get that bad. It's not like your TVs are going to be spying on you.
Okay. Too late.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, that happened, didn't it?
They admitted it.
Samsung.
So they arrested it. If anybody read the story that we've got on the antimedia.org about the grandfather that was visiting here in Alabama, about an hour and a half north of us, they did arrest the police officer for the beating. The video has been released, and it's not good on the cop. And hopefully the cop is going to see some justice for this because it's really bad. So that's been released, and they arrested the cop. That's huge.
And again,
hopefully we'll see an indictment because we've seen the video, we know the story.
It's absolutely amazing to me that we're still in this day and age in Alabama, where we have learned supposed to have learned so many lessons about seeing someone who is of an opposite color of us and immediately assuming that, yeah, something ain't going right. He's out there pacing around.
This was an old man walking down the road.
To his son, walking in front of the house, walking probably on a cell phone like we do all the time.
He wasn't doing nothing to nobody.
And again, because we were bragging on Birmingham an episode or two ago, this happened far outside of Birmingham in Madison.
Yeah, up towards Huntsville, which is where the Redstone Arsenal and NASA and Werner von Braun, anybody want to look that up? He was a Nazi, and that's all federal government.
Lots of money up there.
Huge, yeah. Yeah. Lots of money, lots of contracts. A lot of NASA stuff goes on up there. And I know a few stories myself that I won't delve into this evening that are very terrifying. All right, we are going to go ahead and cut to our wonderful guest for the evening, Mr. Justin King, writer for the antimedia.org, and also the founder, I believe, of the Fifth Column. Justin, how are you doing tonight?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Doing good.
So give us the update on the story you broke this week and tell us how you accumulated all your research and where you're coming from with it.
Okay, well, the research started when Derek Rose, decided he wanted to draw a little bit more attention back to the torture report. I agreed, not really thinking it through all the way, to be waterboarded as part of one of the protests, and did a little bit of research to where our torture program started, how it started, and once you actually get past all of the talking points around it, it really began in Abu Ghraib. That's where we started softening people up. Now, the way the storyline, everybody knows it, is, there are a couple bad apples in this prison. They piled people on top of each other naked, and, they got punished for it. That's what the average person knows.
Right, that's what we were told. Right.
Yeah, it's not that bad. I mean, after all, the Iraqis were cutting our guys' heads off. So, when you compare the two, a naked dog pile isn't really that bad.
And that's, and especially being here in the South, you hear, but those people are monsters. They're killing people. They're beheading people. That's sick. How dare they? We're just piling some people up. That's not that big of a deal.
Right. Well, when I actually started looking at the timeline, because our media doesn't report things in the order they happen. They report things in the order they get the evidence, or the order they're told, which is this case. We were told about the beheadings before we knew what was going on at Abu Ghraib. The problem is that the insurgents knew what was going on at Abu Ghraib before we did. On November 5th of 2003, escapes began from Abu Ghraib. They started getting out, and they started running. Now, these guys obviously went back to their units, to their cells, whatever, and told them about the treatment they were receiving. When Nicholas Berg, the first American that was beheaded in Iraq, was beheaded, the video that they didn't bother to translate on most news outlets said flat out, "We're cutting this guy's head off because of what happened at Abu Ghraib, and we're going to keep doing it." Now, that's bad enough.
Right.
The worst part is that it wasn't a couple of bad apples. The U.S. military, bunch of officers all the way up to the rank of colonel, that we can prove knew about this. These weren't people just beating the crap out of these guys for, just for the lulz. They were ordered to do it by a CIA officer, Agent Romero, to soften them up and prepare them for interrogation. That was the start of our torture program. Now, once word got out, once the beheading occurred, and countries that spoke Arabic could actually understand the video, foreign fighters flocked to Iraq because what was going on there was a whole lot worse than the naked dog pile. These foreign fighters, by most estimates, accounted for 50% of our casualties. So the long and the short of it is, our torture program caused over 1,000 American deaths.
Wow.
And it has yet to produce any actual intelligence.
And it has. And what's so scary, too, is we've just had the report released just a few months ago. And, and I think it was Derek's point when he started the National Day of the Action Against Torture is, it was big in the news for a week and everybody was talking about it. And, we're doing what we're doing and anal hydration and yada, yada, yada. And we're raping kids in front of their parents or whatever, mothers and all that situation. And then it just went away. It just floated out into thin air. And it didn't exist anymore. And in the mind of Americans, they there was something else that week to get scared about.
Ebola, I believe it was. The soup du jour of the moment.
That was the Paris attack.
Yes.
The shooting, that's what, you know, that got latched on to.
Oh, yeah.
People talked about that. Nobody came back to talk about the torture report. And, yeah, it was the deeper you go into it, and what's even more interesting is, you know, a lot of times you'll say, oh, well, you know, they just hadn't caught any of our troops yet. You know, they didn't have the chance to behead anybody yet. That was the first answer I got when I told somebody this.
Right.
So I looked, and, well, that's not true either.
They had POWs.
They did. They had at least 10 that I was able to verify. 9 of them we got back in pristine condition. Well, let me say 8 of them we got back in pristine condition. They had actually been taken to the hospital, treated for their wounds, everything.
And the one that did die, correct me if I'm wrong, it's really arguable that he died because it was more of a mercy killing because he had been injured so bad, or?
Right. He'd been shot once and stabbed twice in the fighting.
Right.
So the Fedayeen, which are Iraqi special forces, they're the guys that caught it. They took him to a place that was actually just outside American control. Or I shouldn't say just outside American control, just outside a buffer zone. If they went any further, they'd end up they'd run into American controls and get shot at. So they took him there, and from what it seems like, they held him there for a while trying to figure out what to do. Seems like his situation deteriorated. They couldn't risk, from their standpoint, they couldn't risk turning him over, and they couldn't just leave him there to die.
Right.
And they, you know, they put I think 2 rounds. They shot him twice in the back of the head. They didn't torture him. They didn't videotape it. And in fact, they left the body in a place where American forces would get it.
And he could be retrieved.
Right. So he could be returned to his family.
But are you trying to tell me that their troops were actually civil and humane to American troops?
I don't know if I would say civil and humane. It's war, but they were
exactly.
They were within the laws of war, with the exception of what possibly happened to Jessica Lynch. But we've been fed so much half truths and lies about what happened to her, we don't even know what happened to her.
Exactly.
You know, because if she was raped, which is very common in the Mideast for that to happen to a female soldier, and in fact that probably did happen.
Right.
But that was the worst of the treatment. And that's horrible. Don't get me wrong.
It is, yeah.
But it wasn't, the beheadings didn't occur. Nothing like that happened. All of the brutal stuff that occurred in Iraq, the contractors getting set on fire and pulled up onto the bridge, all of that stuff, everything happened after the detainees escaped Abu Ghraib.
And once the information got out about what we were actually doing over there.
Right. And it was a whole lot worse than naked dog piles. We're talking sodomy, we're talking rape, we're talking beatings.
Children.
Horrible, 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 horrible stuff.
What's scary is it's kind of all now, 12 years later after the fact, this has all kind of come out. And just the 24-hour news cycle has piled on top of this information, and people forget that it happened.
Right. I mean, the Army in 2004 actually confirmed that, yes, all this stuff happened. Yes, it was at the direction of intelligence officers. Yeah, these guys that we sent to prison, they were just following orders. I mean, the fact that the American people bought a specialist. These are low-ranking enlisted guys, and somehow the American people got sold on the idea that these guys had control of our most valuable prisoners in Iraq. These guys, no officers, no intel guys, nothing like that. Girl. Just a bunch of MPs. It's insane. It's insane that we didn't recognize that at the time.
Right.
And then when the photos came out, and I'll tell you, I got the whole stack, and I debated on what to do with them because they're extremely graphic. And if you look at the article, basically we ran the aftermath, which
right.
is a blood-soaked floor. I didn't feel comfortable running the photos. I mean, they're that bad.
But you know, I agree with you because it is so gruesome and it is so graphic. But at the same time, that, you know, you did not, as a journalist, you did not cause those things to happen. You're trying to pursue the truth and get other people to realize what's going on. That's it. And trying to wake people up. And the worst our government does, as horrible as it is, that doesn't necessarily mean it should be censored. You know, people need to know what's going on.
Yeah, well, and that was, I included some quotes from the testimony because there's photographic evidence of teenage boys getting raped.
Right.
By our guys. All right. Let's be real clear about this.
In American soldier uniforms. Mm.
Yes.
Mm.
And.
Well, that's kind of been known for over a decade, has it not?
Well, the way it was released, everything got released in piecemeal. So people got this piece of information. A year later, they get this piece of information. A year later, they get this. And they never get the whole story. And 10 years goes by before we get the report that reignites the interest in the topic.
Right.
I mean, and that's what happened. Now, the images, my concern, and the reason we didn't release them, was they're so bad that the same thing that would happen, or the same thing that happened 10 years ago could happen again.
Right.
Releasing these images the second time could cause, you know, more death. And it was something I actually, because I had this conversation with somebody else, and he's like, man, you have to show them. You know, you have an obligation to show them. I'm like, okay. So I sent him three of the pictures. 60 seconds later, I get a message back. He's like, yeah, you can't show this to people. They're that bad. I mean, there's no other way to say it. It's horrible.
But I'm with you. I'm totally with you. But, you know, if Americans have their head in the sand, they're talking about Kanye West at the Grammys. You know,
yeah, that's true.
And sometimes it takes somebody walking up to them and shaking them violently, which is what these images would do.
Well, Jetland, and I've seen the image of the blood soaked floor, the one image you did show, and that was disturbing enough.
That's nothing.
And
I tell you what, while we got you on the phone, Justin, tell us just on the 31st of January. You had a big national story about you being waterboarded. Why don't you tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah, I volunteered to do it as part of the protest to get attention drawn back to the torture report. It seemed to actually be pretty effective. Basically, I met up with the guys from Unite Ohio. They set me up with somebody that knew how to waterboard people.
That's scary.
Yeah. we got all the equipment together. We got everything we needed. Showed up at the Ohio State House, and we're going to do it on the steps. This young guy, Zach, he actually volunteers to do it too. So we were like, okay, well, then we're going to do a very clinical, we're going to show everybody what the media shows as waterboarding.
Yeah, Derek's was a lot more violent.
Well, that was, yeah. We were going to show what the media does, and then with me, we were going to actually go through it. We were going to go You know, the three phases, the beginning of the waterboarding, the verbal abuse, and then the slaps. And we're going to work. We didn't get that far because cops broke it up, but that was the plan. It's horrible. I'm watching him do it. I'm watching this young guy do it. And
well, for the listeners, you had never been waterboarded before this day, and you've never experienced that, right?
No, I'd actually been waterboarded twice before in controlled situations. This was a little bit different because I didn't know the guy very well that was waterboarding me. It was freezing, literally. It was that cold, which definitely played into the pain a little bit. Everything's a lot different when there's even a little bit of uncertainty about what's going on. It's a lot more intimidating. So just imagine what it's like when you're yanked out of a prison cell and you know you can't stop this. You know, in order for me to stop it, all I had to do was admit to being Osama bin Laden's driver.
Right.
You know, that was our safe thing, you know, and it would be done. It didn't get that far. I think in the third or fourth cycle, the Ohio State Police came up and said, you know, this is done. This guy's life's in danger. You're stopping now.
And that was a big deal. That became a big deal in the media. That got put on, InfoWars and all that?
Yeah. That honestly, him doing that kind of really helped in a way.
I could see. You were, from the video I saw, you were coughing up water, immediately. It looked horrible. I would never.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty bad. In fact, when he just, you know, they have to wet all of the cloth before you actually start. And when he just wet the beanie that I had over my face, the water was so cold when it hit me, it kind of, and when I did that, I inhaled water. I mean, we hadn't even started yet, and I'm already choking, you know?
Wow.
And then as we went on, you know, the length of pour got longer, you know, and it's definitely, and you're already out of breath from the last one. It's painful. It's horrible. I mean, it does not simulate drowning, okay? You are drowning. You cannot breathe. I mean, yeah, water's not filling your lungs. It's just blocking your lungs, so you can't take in any air. Yes, people can get killed doing this. It's not, you know, they make it sound, in fact, one of my favorite Fox News people referred to it as, it's kind of like standing in a shower with your mouth open.
That was kind of some of that old Michelle Bachman, Rick Santorum rhetoric.
I'm sorry, what?
The Michelle Bachman, Rick Santorum rhetoric in the Republican debates in 2012. They kind of said stuff like that.
Yeah. You know, baptizing terrorists and freedom and all of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's wonderful propaganda and everything, but it's a little different when the water's going up your nose. I mean, I don't know what to say other than if you ever have the chance to be waterboarded, avoid it. I guess I've kind of signed on to do it again if they can arrange certain other people to agree to be waterboarded. I said I'd do it a second time, but.
Well, you're braver than I am, I'll tell you that. I'm not going to line up to be waterboarded multiple times, but it's very commendable in what you're doing because of the awareness that it's raising. Before we have to leave you, tell us about your new project, The Fifth Column, and what's going on with that.
Okay, well, The Fifth Column is going to be, and it is, we're up and running now, it's a long-format alternative news site that does not look like an alternative news site. The whole idea is to get people that are reading USA Today and get them to read the anti-media. We want to be that bridge between the two. A kind of a more subtle version of anti-media, a way to wake people up and kind of ease them into the fact that most of what they're being told through traditional outlets is a lie.
Right.
Now, with everything that's gone on with, the guy that was shot out of the helicopter and, survived the beheading or whatever all of his crazy claims were, it came at the perfect time. You know, he was one of the most trusted newsmen, and he comes out and says, yeah, I'm completely full of it,
Right.
So people had started looking for another outlet. We've been live for 3 days, and I'm very happy with the way things are going so far.
Yeah, I mean the story, which originally was posted on, it's the fifthcolumnnews.com. Am I correct?
Correct.
And the story of the torture and the 1,000 soldiers being killed, it was originally posted there, and we were, fortunate enough to be able to host it also on the anti-media as well. But I think it's an absolutely groundbreaking story that Americans need to be aware of.
I do, too. I'm actually, it's out of everything I've written over the last couple of years, it's definitely in what I think is my top three of articles that really matter, It's funny because it always works this way. The ones that are truly original and truly groundbreaking, those aren't the ones that get, 100,000 shares. Those are the ones that start off with, 2,000, 4,000.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like that. And it grows over time as more and more people realize exactly what's being said. But, yeah, I am extremely happy with
yes, and you should be very, very proud of that article. It's unfortunate you had to write that article, because that's mm-hmm. unfortunate that those are the facts and that situation has existed. But, working with you, and I'm very proud to say that I work with you on some capacity for you writing that. And I think it's a very commendable thing.
I never really know what to respond when people say something like that.
So. Fair enough. You can just yell and scream at me. That's all right. That's all usually right, how people go. Respond to me. They just yell and cuss. So
it works for me.
Yeah. Most people just say I'm an idiot. So, yeah. If you do that with me, we're all good. But, Justin, right. Thank you so much for taking the time out tonight to call in and tell us everything that's going on in your world. And again, the fifthcolumnnews.com. If you've got any parting words for us?
Other than, you do know I'm not leaving anti-media, right?
Well, of course, yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. All right. All right, well, we'll see you later.
All right,
I guess,
man.
I'll see you at work.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Wow.
The fifthcolumnnews.com. Y'all check it out.
Yeah, I mean, Justin's a hell of a writer. I think, though, that what he said was very accurate, and I've noticed it in stories I've written and stories I've helped curate and stories that, I've done the editing for. Is you get a story like this that's just huge, and it gets 2,000-3,000 shares, which that sounds like a good number, but we're talking about when anti-media's done stories. Just my article, a few weeks ago about Chris Kyle, you get 250,000 shares off that.
Yeah.
Now, okay, it was what it was, but it was.
Well, and I hate to say this.
Justin's article is more important than the article I wrote about Chris Kyle.
The reason that yours got the amount of traffic that it did is because Chris Kyle's in the news, and there's a movie about Chris Kyle, and
right. But I was just repeating facts.
Exactly.
Like, I wasn't breaking news to people. I wasn't, I didn't discover this information. I was just repeating facts about the guy. What I said was true. It was all true. But, 250,000 people later, 250,000 people later.
And
But Justin's article is way more important.
It's more important. And the news is a lot older, too. It's kind of sad that it's taken this long for somebody like Justin to have the balls to go ahead and connect all the dots and put it all together. And he's absolutely right. It has been truly groundbreaking news story.
It really is, because you can clearly define that the torture program that was happening in Iraq did
like evils committed by the United States.
Right, and everybody said they're for the soldiers.
Condone part of policy. This is not a few bad apples.
Hey, I support the troops. Yes. I support the troops.
Yes.
Don't you hear that every day? I support the troops.
Absolutely.
If you supported the troops, you wouldn't be supporting torture, because
even then, the word torture has been watered down to a certain point. We're talking about people raping children in front of...
They don't believe it. They don't believe that it happened.
There's no way that the American military could do
that. That's it. That's it.
And there's photographic evidence.
Right. They don't believe it.
Everybody go out there and do your homework. That's all I'm saying, because it's not going to stop, and it's eventually going to sweep you up in the tide.
And here's the thing that's so infuriating, and I'm not defending Saddam Hussein at all. I'm not defending anyone in the Middle East. All I'm saying is we have a situation where we talk about
Saddam Hussein, the man who was executed for doing the job that the United States put him in charge to do.
Right.
Okay, yeah, he was a little heavy-handed in it, you know.
No, but here's the thing, and this is what people can't get over. Everybody lives in such this black and white world that he's good, he's bad.
Absolutely.
And they can't get over the fact that, you know what? Maybe it's all really messed up, because maybe what it really is some person with some money, Saddam Hussein, money, power.
But where did he get his money and power from?
But listen, United States, money, power. Maybe it's just egos colliding. Maybe that's all it is egos colliding. And if you're not going to do our bidding for us, if you're not going to come and do our will for us, then we're going to take you out.
Unfortunately, Saddam Hussein was an employee that we had to let go.
That's exactly what it was.
That's exactly what it was.
Gaddafi was the same thing. And what's funny is we're talking about Iran. They're not an employee. So we're just always like, we got to get them, we got to get them, we got to get them. Like, you cannot watch the mainstream media in a week's time and not hear the word Iran.
And mentioned in a negative connotation.
Right, exactly. And the irony is Iran's done nothing to the United States, and you're going to hear their name in some capacity. Go back for the past 5 years. In Fox News, you've heard the words Iran in a negative capacity.
Oh, gracious. It seems like just about.
They're going to get you. They're going to get you.
At one point in time, every
they're
going
to land on your shore.
Reports. New information.
Lindsey Graham was literally on TV the other day talking about how ISIS was going to... This is Lindsey Graham. I'm telling you, ISIS is going to land on... I'm just doing it for the people. They're going to land here. They're going to take us out.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked over at my wife, because we were sitting there watching it together, and I was like, you know what? I would literally pawn everything I own and give all the money away. Whatever it is, we'll give every penny I've ever had the day ISIS invades South Carolina, which is what he was referring to,
the
people of South Carolina. Yeah, because ISIS is going to invade South Carolina.
Yeah.
Shut up, Lindsey Graham. You're an idiot.
Yeah.
You're a tool.
Have you ever been to South Carolina?
I have. It's a beautiful place.
It really is.
It's a beautiful place. But ISIS ain't attacking anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a fantastic show.
I think it has been, man. Justin, we really, really appreciate Justin calling in. That was awesome. FifthColumnNews.com, check it out.
Yes, absolutely. And
check out theantimedia.org. Coolest website in the land.
Thank you so much. Everybody have a great evening. We will see you next week.
I'ma let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.